Worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thank you for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Thanks for listening. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction, do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Verses 1 through 27, Proverbs chapter 4. Lord, thank you for the fact that your word is a book full of wisdom, a book that gives us insight, guidance, understanding, and direction about every part of life in either direct statement or in principle. And thank you for the wonderful gift your word really, really is to each and every one of us. Lord, help us to grow today greatly in our understanding of the need for us to commit ourselves to faithfully read and meditate on your word each and every day. Help us also to grow in our understanding of the great gift and tool prayer is to each of us, and help us to grow in our understanding of the need for us to commit to being people who live lives given to prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for all those that are part of our listening family today. Lord, thank you for this week, and thank you, Lord, for the opportunity in a special way that we celebrate our fathers coming up to Father's Day soon, Lord. Thank you for every dad that might be listening. And Lord, thank you for being our great and our wonderful Heavenly Father. Lord, thank you for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Lord, thank you for being all of these and so, so, so much more. Help us to grow today greatly in our understanding of how to live a life that honors you, our wonderful and blessed Heavenly Father, and help us to be of encouragement to fathers and fathers-to-be who will glorify it, who can glorify you as they carry out the important work that dads are called to in this world. We thank you, and we do praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. I'd like to remind you that in April, retail giant Target publicized as corporate policy that they were going to start allowing men to frequent women's restrooms and changing facilities. We here at the American Family Association view this policy as a danger to women and children because it creates a gateway for sexual predators to gain access to their victims. Since Target's announcement in late April, over 1.3 million people have pledged to boycott Target by signing the AFA petition. Millions more may also feel strongly that Target's policy is a bad one, but haven't yet heard about the petition or simply have not yet signed the pledge. I want to encourage every listener, if you're wherever you might be, if you haven't signed the pledge, we want to encourage you to please do so, because keep in mind, this is one great way that we as the people of God have of being able to be salt and light in a world. Again, we believe without question there definitely was no need for that retail giant Target to take the steps they took, but again, creates a hazard and a danger for women and children. So again, we're encouraging you to take this step. Something that you can do is to sign the pledge and be a part of this boycott. Our goal this week is to get an additional 50,000 people to sign the pledge to boycott Target. And while we're grateful the million plus who've already signed the pledge, we believe there are lots more people out there who have the same concern and who'd like to help make a difference to help change this wrong action. Again, keep this in mind too. The American Family Association had representatives present at the annual Target shareholders meeting. We voiced some of our concerns and the concerns of millions of Americans, but sadly it appeared Target's attitude was they really didn't care. It seemed that Target just wasn't listening. So before Father's Day, help us add 50,000 more people to the boycott Target pledge. Again, keep in mind, you know, one of the roles that we as fathers have is we're to carry out the role of protector, provider, and leader. And we can help protect our families by shopping elsewhere during Father's Day weekend and beyond as well. So again, if you haven't signed the Boycott Target pledge, we invite you to please go on and do that. Again, we have Target's attention, but we want to do more than just get their attention. We want to encourage them to take the wise step of changing this tragic policy. Again, go to visit afa.net/target for tools and information on the Boycott Target movement. Again, and you can sign that pledge. Again, go to afa.net/target. We'd really appreciate if you get involved with this. Again, once again, visit afa.net and sign the boycott pledge again at afa.net. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. The passage we just read a few moments ago, Proverbs chapter 4, is a great and a powerful passage, and it has many insights. But in particular, today we want to look specifically at the topic of biblical images of manhood. You know, coming up to Father's Day, we really want to focus on the importance of the church helping to shape our boys to become godly men who will obviously become men who stand for the Lord one day, also, Lord willing, to become, many of them will become godly husbands and godly dads as well. But again, that doesn't happen by itself. It's important for the church to be very deliberate about seeking to mold and shape our young men to grow up to become godly boys that will become godly men and live for the Lord and live to honor the Lord in every part of their lives. Becoming godly men, and in many instances will become godly husbands and, of course, become godly dads as well. And so as we look into God's Word, we want you to grow in your understanding of the importance of us as the church taking it upon ourselves to be very deliberate and intentional about molding and shaping our boys to be what God would have them to be. And that's all of our responsibility. Obviously, it's the responsibility of dads and moms in helping to shape their boys to become what God would have them to be. But also, it's the responsibility of the church community as well. Pastors and Sunday school teachers and missionaries, it's the responsibility of the whole church. We should not only pray for our own children, but we should pray for the children that make up the church fellowship that we're a part of as well. We should pray for children in the community as well, and we should seek to develop and create just creative outreaches that touch the lives of children and young people in particular. And today, of course, we're talking specifically about molding our boys to become what God wants them to be. So keep in mind, that is the responsibility of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, of course, our chief book and guide is the written Word of God, God's Word. And so in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, there are lots of truths and insights and stories that help to paint a clear picture, a portrait of sorts of what a godly man really looks like, what a biblically inclined man looks like as well. They specifically paint a picture of what a godly man really should both look like and how he should live as well. Now, I want to say very quickly, there's only one role model in the Word of God that was a perfect role model, and of course, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He never stepped away from the will of God and paints the perfect picture of what a really, genuinely godly man would look like, of course. But even though he was the only perfect man, there are other men in the Word of God who are good role models whose basic lives and lifestyles honored God and whose lives we can look to get a better picture, to get a good picture of what a godly man looks like and the way he carries himself. So as we look into God's Word, keep in mind, God's Word helps us in many, many ways in this regard as well. So if you ask the question, what are some of the biblical characteristics and some of the biblical standards that help us to see and define what a godly man looks like? Well, let's consider a few. Well, number one, he's received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. You know, John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." No man will ever fully carry out and will ever fully be what he was created to be unless he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of his life. He doesn't have it in him to fulfill his God-given calling and destiny unless he knows Jesus Christ, unless he's made the step to fully place his life in God's hands. We cannot reach our destiny nor reach our potential without God. We can't reach our potential without knowing and walking with God as well, because God is the key to our destiny. He's the key to our calling. In fact, all of life really does center around knowing and walking with Jesus Christ. So it's important that our boys and our men that we make that all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into our hearts as Lord and Savior. The most important decision we make in life is that specific decision, the decision to receive Christ. So it's important that we do that. Parents, it's important for us to do all that we can do and do our part to help to be sure that each of our children, our boys and our girls, have made that all-important step. And I would encourage every parent listening, in addition, obviously, to taking our children to church, also often it's wise for us as parents to invite our children to pray a prayer committing or recommitting our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember, the fact is, once you've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you're saved. But it doesn't hurt at all to recommit your heart to the Lord on a regular basis. In fact, it doesn't hurt to do it on a daily basis. So parents, on a regular basis, inviting your children to make that step of both, either inviting Christ in or recommitting their heart to the Lord, both are wise things to do. Let's take a moment now to pray such a prayer, and I want to encourage you to listen and learn, but also make it your goal to pray with us, to commit your heart for those that are listening. If you've never made the step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a good day to get saved. If you're one who wishes to recommit your heart to the Lord, to rededicate your heart to the Lord, it's a wise thing for us to do that actually every day. So let's take time to do just that. Lord Jesus, Father, we confess, Lord, we've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, we confess our sins to you, Lord. Forgive us for our sins and empower us to walk in greater obedience. Lord, we do believe that Jesus Christ came to this world. I believe that he lived. I believe that he died on the cross to pay for our sins. And I believe that he rose from the dead 3 days later. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. You told us in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to live my whole life following you. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. And of course, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we'd really like to hear from you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Or you can call us at 662-844-5036, extension 381. This is Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back after this break.
We're losing 417 Vietnam veterans every day, and with them goes their memories and unique personal histories. This includes the 7,286 African-American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice for our country during the Vietnam War. Help us keep their memory alive by collecting their photos and by putting a face to each name inscribed on the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington, D.C. The Education Center at the Wall on our National Mall will display these photos and be a place where their faces and contributions will never be forgotten. It will complete the work of the Memorial Wall and also honor those who sacrificed their lives in Iraq and Afghanistan. Help honor the service of all American veterans and bring their sacrifice to life. Visit vvmf.org to share your photos and your stories. That's vvmf.org.
A message from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund.
The women's ministry at my church recently had a chat and chew. It was all the women of the church, specifically mothers and daughters, but included older and younger women. The chat part was the older women 25 and up sharing with the younger women some of their testimonies. The desire was to help them understand that they didn't have to go through girl things alone, that there was somebody who understood where they were and had been there before. It was a great encouragement for everyone. The chew part was a time of fellowship and food. We mingled, we laughed, we talked, and of course, we ate. I came away from the chat and chew really glad that I had pressed my way to get there. I said all of that to say this: everything that you go through is purposed for your life and designed for you to help bring someone else out. Don't allow the enemy to make you ashamed of your journey so that you keep silent about how God has kept you and brought you out. Share with the younger women so that they know that they can make it too. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Our nation is in need of another great awakening. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson, president of STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, inviting you to join us July 1st through 3rd in Chesapeake, Virginia, for our first National Awakening Conference. The secular socialism that is engulfing our government and culture has created failing schools, poverty, disintegrating families, gender confusion, fatherless children, murder in the streets, high unemployment, the trampling of our constitutional rights, a growing terrorist threat, and a weakened military. Only when we awaken to America's need for God and the responsibility of pastors and churches to be prophetic voices will there be a bright future for our country. Join me, along with General Jerry Boykin, Dr. Alveda King, and a host of other national leaders and pastors for STAND's National Awakening Conference. To register, go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us.
You're listening to The Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Yeah.
You're listening to Forever Jones, the song Get Ready. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Once again, I want to remind you we're looking today at the topic of biblical images of manhood. And as we look forward to Father's Day, I want to be reminded that we as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ need to be very deliberate and purposeful in seeking to mold our boys to grow up to become godly men who will honor God in their lives, godly men who will one day in many instances become godly husbands and godly dads as well, in that order. And so it's important for us to look to the Word of God for guidance and direction to help us know how to be carrying out this task in a way that we honor the Lord and do things God's way. Remember, God's way is the best way to do any and everything. So first and foremost, it's important to we as parents and those that work with young people do our part to help them to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. Again, that's the most important decision for every human being in all the world, to make that step, to ask Christ to come in as Lord and Savior of their life. Well, secondly then, again, it's also important for us to teach our young men. And obviously these are things we should teach our boys and our girls. Again, many of these would apply to boys and girls. But today, of course, we're focusing on the need for us to reach out and very deliberately minister to our boys to help them to become men of God, but teaching them to become students of God's Word. Psalm 1 tells us these words, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night." We've got to teach and train our boys to become students of the Word of God. You know, sometimes you often may run into young men that will say, "I don't like to read," but we need to teach our boys, get over it. We've got to teach them to become students of God's Word. God's Word, the Lord Jesus says specifically about the Word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God." We need the Word of God more than we need the daily food that we eat. Now, most folks understand that we desperately need to eat if we're going to live, but we need God's Word more than that. So we've got to teach and train our boys to become students of God's Word. And specifically, keep in mind, one of the reasons why it's important for us in the church to teach spiritual disciplines, that is, spiritual habits, is because our lives are made up of habits. And the things that are important to us are things that we form habits around. So, you know, if we sometimes generally tell our boys or people, period, read your Bible, that's kind of a general statement, and it's a good statement. But giving them something, a specific task to help them accomplish that goal is an important step in seriously carrying out the work of discipling an individual. So that's one of the reasons why when we encourage a person to set a goal of reading 3 chapters a day, it's something measurable, and you can know on any given day, I did it or I did not do it. So again, as a believer, making it a goal to regularly challenge others to read 3 chapters a day is a good tool. It's a good instrument to use to encourage believers to become consistent in reading and meditating and feeding on God's precious Word. So we need to teach our boys to become students of the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Again, parents, dads, and moms, and again, individuals that work with young people, as we teach and train our boys to become students of God's Word and specifically to form habits of reading the Word daily, we will bless them tremendously. And we're helping them to get on the right road that's going to help them in so, so many ways. So teaching them to be students of God's Word, students who read God's Word every day, is a very important step as well. A third important characteristic that godly men should strive to carry out and to live out in their lives is we need to teach our boys to become persons of prayer, persons given to prayer. The scripture that we quote at the beginning of the broadcast is an important one to teach and train our children in. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Remember, in life, prayer is the secret weapon that God doesn't want to stay a secret. He wants you to learn that so many powerful and wonderful and dramatic things can happen in our lives as we learn to give the challenges, the concerns, the needs in our lives to God in prayer. Go to God in prayer, because God is a God who said, "Ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open." Let's teach and train our boys to give themselves to prayer, to take prayer seriously, and watch and see how wonderfully our Heavenly Father will answer and gladly answer prayer and show us that He really and truly is God. A fourth important biblical characteristic that we want to seek to instill within our boys is teaching them the importance of bringing their family together in prayer. Now, of course, obviously, that's once they get married and have a family, but it's important to make it a goal that as a young man, once he marries and has a wife and children, then regularly seeking to bring the family together for a time of devotion, a time of praying and reading the Word of God together. That's a wise thing to do. Now, for some families, they may have their prayer time while they're riding in the vehicle. They have everyone to pray together, praying the Lord's Prayer together, maybe praying the Ten Commandments together as a family. Parents, that's a good time to use for prayer time with your family. Now, of course, Dad, if you're driving, you want to keep your eyes open now. Don't close them while you're driving, but let the family pray together. That's a good and a very fruitful time and opportunity to use driving time. Also, having the children to read out loud to you while you're driving. Parents, it's a very wise habit for us to teach and train our children to read the Word of God daily out loud to us. Having our sons and our daughters to read the Word out loud, it'll bless them and it'll bless us as well, because the reading of God's Word in your home will bless your home. It pours grace into the lives of your children and into the atmosphere of your home as well. That's a wise thing to do. So parents, let's be sure to teach and train our children to read out loud to us on a regular basis in their younger years. A fifth characteristic or goal for us to teach and train our boys to pursue as they grow up to become godly men is teaching him to take time to train and instruct his children in the things of life. And keep in mind, God's Word clearly teaches us as parents the importance of teaching and training our children. And I don't think we really can overemphasize how important that really is, because that's our responsibility. You know, sometimes we may mistakenly think that's mostly, well, I guess a better way to put it is, it's mainly the responsibility of parents to teach and train and disciple our children. The church is to back us up, but we should not think that it's just the church's responsibility. It's mainly our responsibility as parents, and the church, again, is to back up what we do, but we're to teach and train our children in the things of God and about the Word of God and living a godly life. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting at verse 4, it says these words: "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Now, again, that's a powerful passage. I'm going to read it again. I want you to listen to it, but it's teaching us as parents things we're to do to instruct and teach our children the Word of God within our home, both tools we can use to help ingrain the Word of God into their minds and their hearts, but these are things we're called to do. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses. Starting at verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." So parents, amongst other things, we're to teach and train our children to read God's Word and to live by God's Word. And we're to even decorate our homes in such a way where we'll have posters or pictures that carry the Word of God, that remind them and teach them and point them to God's precious Word. Parents, we're wise to buy each of our children their own reading Bible so they can read for themselves. You know, sometimes families have one of those big family Bibles on their coffee table. And that's good and fine, but you know, sometimes dad or mom or granddad or grandma might say, "Don't touch that big family Bible." Well, as long as each of the children has their own, then if you just really want to do that, that's good and fine. But remember this, the Bible was never meant to be a souvenir. It's meant to be a guidebook. It's meant to be an instruction manual for life, and we're to diligently teach our sons and our daughters how to live. And so be sure that you revere the Bible as a means of guiding and directing your life and the lives of your children as well. Again, if you have a souvenir Bible, good and fine, but be sure the children each have their own so that they can read the Word of God whenever they so choose to, because they need to be choosing to read it and be guided by it every single day. So let's be sure we do that as well. So again, that the next characteristic again is that he is a godly man. Of course, this is, again, the fifth one. He's to be wise enough to teach and train and instruct his children in the things of God, in the Word of God, and truths that draw from the Word of God. And the passage we drew from was Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses, again, 4 through 9. But keep in mind, just when you have opportunity, go through the book of Proverbs and notice how many of the passages, how many of the chapters in Proverbs, they start with the words, my son, or they start with the words, hear my children, or something to that effect. Time and just go through the book of Proverbs and notice how many of them begin where a parent is clearly talking to his or her children about life and the things in life and wisdom in life. And parents, remember this, in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is a wonderful textbook for us to teach our children about life from, and we should use it often to teach and train them about truths in life. Now you may ask, well, what are some of those issues? Well, it talks about the importance of being a hard worker, the importance of having a good name, how to handle money, being careful to avoid sexually immoral individuals, and on and on and on. All the topics dealt with in Proverbs are just as important today as they were when the day that the parents spoke those words to their children as well. We have changed as our ages have changed and eras have changed and cultures have changed, but human nature still desperately needs the Word of God as our guide. So let's use the Word of God to teach and train and mold our children. So keep in mind, again, a sixth characteristic, again, of a godly man that we as men are to pursue, and again, truths that we're to teach our boys to pursue as well in life is, he should seek to take his family to church regularly. For example, taking them to worship service on Sunday morning and Bible studies during the week, or attending events that will help them grow in their walk with God and their relationship with God. So again, it's not for the dad to send the children or tell them you go and he stay at home watching sports on TV or something. He should lead his family to church, not send them to church. That's what a real man is called to do as well. A seventh responsibility that we're to teach and train our boys to walk in is he should have a sense of mission on his life. That is, we need to teach our boys to seek to carry out the call of God, whatever that might be on their lives. It should be his goal to seek with passion to fulfill whatever the calling of God has placed on his life is, and he should be pursuing that if he doesn't feel like he has a sense of what that is yet. Because remember, the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us. The Holy Spirit even speaks to sinners often. And so definitely as believers, the Holy Spirit speaking to us, we've got to learn to spend time in the Word of God, spend time in prayer so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit will guide us in these directions. So a seventh important goal is that we're to teach our boys to grow up, to have a sense of mission on their lives, a sense of God's calling, and it should be their goal to live that calling out. Lord, thank you, Father, for the opportunity for us to mold and shape our boys to become the godly men you'd called them to be. Lord, help us to be faithful, to daily be diligently seeking to carry this responsibility out. Lord, we live in a world where boys desperately need the guidance and direction of godly men and godly parents who will pray for them, who will live a life that's a good role model before them, who will mold and shape and encourage them in the things of God. Thank you, Lord, Father, for that opportunity. Give us wisdom and grace and God and your fresh anointing to effectively carry out this work. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we look at the topic, Biblical Images of Manhood. We'll be right back.
Hello, it's your girl, Victory McIntosh. Catch me Monday through Fridays from 6 to 8 p.m. Central for The Jesus Jams, where I'm all about putting a good beat to some good gospel music. I'm here to inform you of today's hottest topics, along with many of my favorite jams. The Jesus Jams is a place for truth, wisdom, and empowerment with good music. Catch me Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Family is an institution set forth by God, one man and one woman for life, with the outflow being children produced by that union. It's obvious to all that there is an attack on the family in our country, and especially on fathers. Whether it's the cycle of sin that persists in our families or the pressure from our government to exclude men from being intimately involved, the strategic battle is on for the souls of men. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
We come to Christ as individuals, but we grow as part of a community of faith. Dr. Tony Evans explains why that's so important as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You want to know why you need to belong to a church that Jesus can say is my church? Because only by your belonging to that community of believers will you belong to a community that can stop hell. Because he says, I will build my community. And with today, we have the problem of Christians who want to live isolated Christian lives. And I understand that it is the community of saints that God has ordained to be able to stop hell. That's why when you can't break through to God on your own, if you're part of the community of believers, they can join forces and help you break through to God with one another. Sometimes you pray till you're blue in the face and nothing happens. But Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell can't stop it. Now that means that you need to observe something else. And that is that Jesus Christ is on the offensive, not the defensive. The reason why so many of us are defeated is that we are defensive Christians. Instead of looking at what Satan is doing, Jesus says you need to take a closer look at what Christ has done. When you understand what Christ has done, then you're on the offensive. Hell is on the defensive, not the church.
Learn more about how churches and individuals can win the battle going on behind the scenes of our lives. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' book, Victory in Spiritual Warfare. It'll not only teach you what the Bible has to say about our fight against the devil and his influence, you'll find the real-life help you've been looking for. Visit us at TonyEvans.org for details. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
This is the Hour of Intercession with Pastor Joseph Parker on Urban Family Talk.
Tell the night from day.
The music of Douglas Miller, the song My Soul Has Been Anchored in the Lord. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Today we're looking at the topic of biblical images of manhood and specifically things and truths that we as the church should be working on to help mold our boys to become godly men, godly husbands, godly dads. And so it's important that we're very deliberate about doing these things, not hoping they'll happen somehow or another by accident. We need to be very purposeful in carrying these responsibilities out. As dads, as moms, and as ministers in the church, and as believers who are helping to pray for, to mold and shape, and help our boys to grow up to be what God would have them to be. So we've been looking at some of those characteristics, and we've already looked at the fact that it's important for us to do our part to help boys to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Secondly, to teach them to read the Word of God daily. Thirdly, teaching them to be persons given to prayer. Fourthly, teaching them the importance of leading their families in having a regular time of coming together, a devotional time of sorts with their families. Fifthly, taking time to teach and train his children to not only read the Word of God, but to live by its wisdom. Number six, again, regularly leading his family to worship and Bible study, basically leading them to places of worship, not telling them to go, not sending them, but taking them themselves. And then a seventh, that he should have a sense of mission, a sense of calling on his life, and he should be seeking to pursue, to fulfill the call of God upon his life, whatever that might be. And then number eight, he's to seek to work and provide well for his family. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if a man will not provide for his own, he is worse than an infidel. Remember, we're to teach our boys to work and to work hard. It's important for us to teach our boys that a part of being a godly man is being a hard worker, one who provides. And keep in mind, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife in the Garden of Eden. We've got to teach our boys to work and to work hard. One of the saddest things in the world is a lazy man, a man that won't work, a man that runs from work, a man that acts like he is going into hives at the thought of work, or he acts as if he's allergic to work. That's not good. Real men will work and work hard. Parents, we've got to teach and train our boys to work and be hard workers. That's a part of being a godly man. Real men aren't afraid of work. And, you know, a person may seem ever so spiritual and seem to do what people consider spiritual things, but if he's lazy, he is not glorifying God as a man, because real men, they need to understand that work is a part of manhood. It's a part of carrying out your God-given responsibility to take care of your wife and children. So when you have men that run from having to pay child support or try to avoid it, or even leaving jobs because they think that the government is about to track them down and make them pay child support, that's not a man, that's a wimp. Real men will take care of their own flesh and blood. That's a part of being godly men. So we need to teach our boys to work and to work hard, to never be afraid of work, but to look forward to working and working hard to take care of his family. Again, like I said, God gave Adam a job before he gave him a wife. Men were to be hard workers. Parents, let's teach this to our boys. Number nine, we're to teach our boys to be protectors as well. Real men protect and look out for their wives, for their children, and not only their own family, but real men, we're protectors. That's a God-given responsibility. So when you have men that will hit girls or beat up on women, that's not a man, that's a wimp. Real men protect women and girls and look out for them, and that's a part of our God-given responsibility. In Matthew chapters 1 and 2, it tells the story of how that Joseph received guidance from the Lord in being able to protect his wife and the Lord Jesus, God had entrusted the Messiah to Joseph and Mary. And Joseph did a good job of seeking the Lord for wisdom and grace to know how to protect and look out for his wife and son. And as God gave him direction, he did what he was told to do. He did provide the protection needed for his wife and children. Again, we're to teach our boys that we're, as men, we're to be protectors. We're to look out for and to protect girls and women. So real men don't beat up on girls. They're not abusive of girls. They protect, we protect them. That's our God-given responsibility. So these are important truths for us to be mindful of, some of the important truths that we need to be mindful of. Let me share with you real briefly And let me say this once again, a number of the resources that we're sharing on the broadcast today, if you'd like to get copies or outlines of some of them, you can simply email us at this email, jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share some of these resources. If they're things that you can share with boys or men that you know, or that you'd like to use to teach and train boys that you know, again, we'd be glad to share them with you. Again, that email is jparker@afa.net. I want to take a moment now to pray a prayer. It's entitled A Husband's Daily Prayer for His Wife, and this is a good prayer for a husband to pray on a daily basis. And again, it's a tool. If you want to email us, and we'd be glad to send you a copy of it. But it's a good prayer, men, for us to pray for our wives each and every day, and a good prayer to teach our boys to pray for the one day the wife that they will have as well. Let's take time to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the gift my wife is to me, to our family, and to the church, and to the kingdom of God. Lord, bless my wife today. Bless her indeed. Expand her territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon her. Keep her from evil that she may not cause pain. Help me this day to be the full blessing to my wife that you want me to be in the name of Jesus. Help her today to walk in the fullness of your joy. Fill her today with your joy, your peace, your grace, and your encouragement in the name of Jesus. Help her to walk in your love and your joy and your peace fully. Help her to spend the time in your word and the time in prayer that you would want her to spend this day in the name of Jesus. Help her today to put you first in her life. Help her to make no graven images. Help her to not take your name in vain. Help her to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help her to honor her father and her mother. Help her to not kill. Help her to not steal. Help her to not commit adultery. Help her to tell the truth. Help her to not covet in the name of Jesus. Empower my wife this day to fulfill all the call of God upon her life. Help her to live today as the living sacrifice you've called her to be. Thank you, Lord, for my wife. Thank you for the blessing she is to me and to the world. Fill her day with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, a short prayer entitled A Husband's Daily Prayer for His Wife. Again, if you'd like to get a copy, that email is jparker@afa.net. Be glad to send it to you for you to share again with your son, or maybe with a husband as well, or men for you to use yourself. Also, let me remind you, too, of prayer tools that we like to share with you. These are tools of 6 biblically-based prayers, prayers that come straight from Scripture or that are based on Scripture that we'd be wise to pray and to teach our boys to pray as well as spiritual leaders. Number one, of course, is the Lord's Prayer found in Matthew chapter 6. A second one is the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. The third one is the Ten Commandments, a prayer that was actually included in that prayer, praying for our wives. Another one then is a prayer for wisdom, as Solomon asked for wisdom in 1 Kings chapter 3. We're wise to ask God for wisdom on a daily basis to be the kind of husbands, the kind of dads, the kind of providers we're to be. Fifth, then, again, the prayer prayed by Isaiah, in which Isaiah basically said to the Lord, "Here I am, I'm available, send me today to do your will." That's a wise prayer to pray every single day. And the last one then, a prayer similar to the prayer Paul prayed right after he got saved. When Paul first got saved, one of the first questions he asked was, "Who are you, Lord?" And the second question was actually a prayer. "What would you have me to do?" I want to encourage you to pray that prayer every single day, seeking God's direction, because God knows the specifics of what he wants you to do on any given day. We're wise to seek his guidance and direction in this regard. So as our time is almost gone today, I want you to keep in mind, today we've been looking at that topic, biblical images of manhood. These are truths we need to be teaching our boys and molding and shaping our boys to live out if they're going to be godly men that will honor God as men and potentially as husbands and dads as well. So keep in mind, in addition to being protectors, a tenth truth is we're to encourage and we're to live this man in such a way that we will be good role models for our families. Men, we're to live in such a way that our wives and our children can look to us for what a real believer looks like. So we're to live in such a way that that's really obvious before them. So we should pray that God would help us to live that way. And then finally, then an 11th characteristic is, as men, we're to seek to have the wisdom and the courage to take responsibility and deal with problems head on. Real men should not run from problems. We should take responsibility and help deal with them whatever they might be. And of course, typically it means going to God and saying, Lord, give me wisdom to know how to deal with this problem. Give me guidance, give me grace, give me help. But we don't run from problems. But as men, we're problem solvers because we know the living God, and we know the God who can solve and help us overcome any problem, any challenge. But again, we take responsibility for the problems and the issues of life. Keep in mind, in closing, remember this, being a man, a real man, is much more than just being able to father a baby. A man, a godly man, has a love for God and a maturity and an authority about him that sets him apart from the rest of the males in the world. A real man is seeking God and seeking to fulfill God's purposes for his life. And a real man has perspectives that are biblical and honorable. His guidebook for life is the Word of God. And he lives for God. He lives for the purposes and the will of God in his life. A real man is someone who understands that women and girls are special and precious, that to be honored and protected by men. Real men understand that women are not objects to conquer or persons to be disrespected and used. A real man respects and honors girls and women. He doesn't take advantage of them. He respects and honors them, and he decides that he will not get involved with a woman sexually unless he's first won her heart and put a ring on her finger and married her first. A real man, a godly man, thinks this way. He acts this way. He carries himself this way. He's clearly decided to leave the ways and the perspective of being a boy in boyhood, and he's taken on the actions and the attitude and the perspective of Christian manhood. That's what we're to pursue in life as men and women of God. Boys ask questions while men give answers. Boys play house while real men build homes. Boys shack up while real men get married. Boys too often abuse and misuse girls and women. Men protect, appreciate, honor, and look out for girls and women. Boys too often consider a woman an object to be used, while men see women as a gift and a prize to be honorably pursued and won. Boys make babies while men raise children. A boy won't raise his own children. A man will raise his and someone else's when the need arises. Boys make excuses for failure while men produce ways and strategies to succeed. Boys look for someone to take care of them while men look for someone to take care of. Boys drop out of school saying school is a waste of their time and too hard while men recognize the importance of and the value of education. He desires to be educated and or to gain skill in order to reach his full potential in life. The world desperately needs many more men. May we seek to pray that God would raise up more godly men to bless the world with. Lord, thank you for the gift, the wonderful gift of godly men, godly husbands, godly dads. Raise up more and more for your glory that will live for you, that will understand the times, and who will know what to do for your glory. Guide us as the church to do all we can to help mold them into the men you want them to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you joining us today. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.